Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air,
asking the questions you want to know
with sports' biggest and best names. Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer Mark Folliwell.
Rick is, I think, just a great guy at handling these situations. I have all the respect in the world for him as a coach, how to manage the roster and knew what all of his guys were capable of doing and or not doing and put them in a position to succeed.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker Campbell.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and we are gearing up for the NBA All-Star Weekend as we get set to celebrate the NBA's greatest athletes. Right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, we are keeping a close watch on our favorite All-Star and world champion, the great Dirk Nowitzki, and his big weekend in Orlando, getting set to make his 11th consecutive All-Star appearance. That is remarkable. Well, providing the helping hand this weekend is the familiar face and voice for the Dallas Mavericks, the master of the mic, the one and only Mark Folliwell. Welcome back, Mark. I'm assuming that you are savoring this rare opportunity of some downtime. How are you?
That's great. It's great to talk to you as always, Elissa. Hope all is well. And I'm savoring the opportunity to rest and relax. Sort of a funny story, though, about my All-Star weekend. I just can't get enough of Mavericks basketball. So I'm actually going to see UTA play over the weekend. They've got a game against Northwestern State, a Southern Conference game, and I'm intrigued by their new arena on the campus of Texas Arlington. So I still can't get away from Mavs basketball. I'm going to check out a UTA game over the weekend.
Well, I don't know what all of us Mav fans are going to do. I mean, no basketball for the next 5 days, so it's going to be kind of hard on us. But let's get right to it because, Mark, we want to get your midterm report. We want you to reflect on this first half of the shortened season because the Mavs, you know, they certainly had to endure a slow start. You know, the injuries to Dirk, Kidd, and Delonte, and just the transition of an overhauled team. What has been your assessment so far in these first 34 games?
Well, it certainly hasn't been without some bumps in the road, but I think given the challenges of what's out there in front of them, I thought they've done a pretty nice job of handling it. You know, one of the things that Rick Carlisle has talked about all year long is that we're not going to complain about the schedule. We're not going to approach this like we don't like it or loathe it is one word that he's used. He said, I think that if you approach it that way, then you're not going to play your best and put your best foot forward. So what they've tried to do is look at this season as a unique opportunity, understanding that it has challenges to it, but they're embracing those challenges. And whatever style that you have to implement or kind of basketball that you have to play this year, their approach to it is, let's try and be the best there is at what you've got to do this year. And so they've been very heavily reliant on their depth. A lot of nights that's produced for them. Not every night it has, but a lot of nights it has. And I think that given the slow start, the integration of new faces, whatever level of championship hangover that there was at the beginning, that this season has certainly not been without challenges and not been without bumps in the road. But to be 21-13 at the All-Star break and just one game past the mathematical halfway point, I think the Mavs are right in the mix of the best teams that are out there, and they've just got to hope to get better going forward.
You know, and Rick Carlisle, too, he's talked about how his Mavs have shown just incredible resolve. I mean, yes, they have hit some turbulence along the way, but we've seen it when you look up and down the schedule. I think back to, you know, the overtime wins against San Antonio and Portland and how they just dug deep and they were able to pull out those wins. I mean, they just showed a lot of grit and heart.
Well, I think the grit and heart is obviously indicative of, you know, being a championship team. You know, they went through a lot tougher challenges than that in terms of climbing the mountain last spring. So they're able to rely on those experiences to some degree. And you've got quality veteran players who have made a lot of big plays late in games in the regular season and playoffs in years past. So they've had that capability to dig deep before, and it's guys with a lot of pride. So obviously they're going to dig deep in those situations like against San Antonio and Portland. And I think that, I think it's been a very, very entertaining first half of the season. There have been, you know, some bad games along the way around the league, but the fact that you've got so many games coming at you each night around the NBA, I think it's made at least, if nothing else, what the season has perhaps lacked in aesthetic quality at times, it's still made up for it in the scale of competition. Because a lot of these games may be ugly, Elissa, but you still get to the point when it gets down to 5 minutes to go in winning time, the competitiveness level is still pretty high, I think, on most nights, so it's still made for some pretty good stuff.
You're listening to the voice of Mark Folliwell. We know him well, the Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer. And, Mark, you just talked about, you know, the influx of so many new guys that are a part of this team. Who has impressed you the most?
Vince Carter, I would say, without a shadow of a doubt. he'd be at the top of the list, because I think a lot of people wondered, well, you know, what does he have left in the tank? And clearly he does. He's the fourth leading scorer on the team. He averages 11 points a game. You know, stepped up with a 20-point game against the Lakers in the last game before the All-Star break, which was almost enough to get them over the hump, but unfortunately they weren't able to do that. And the thing that maybe even more so is that throughout his career, you know, fairly or not, an attitude has been attached to Vince Carter that, you know, did he care? Can you win with him? You know, he's just an empty numbers guy. And my dealings with him, you know, I'm sad to say that sometimes you go into a situation and you hear all these things about someone and you go into it thinking, well, what kind of guy is he going to be? And I have been, you know, just beyond impressed about what a pleasant, personable, nice guy he really is. He's been very, very good to deal with. He's been very gracious, very accommodating, and I just can't say enough nice things about the guy in terms of how he's fit in as a person on this thing. And I think he's played better than pretty much any expectation people had for him. And then if I were going to pick a second surprise after Vince Carter, the fact that Brandon Wright has turned into a contributor after being a non-factor, basically, in his first 4 years in the league. It's a limited role, but, you know, limited role players are valuable, especially in this season. And he stepped into a contributor position on this team after being an inactive guy for the first week to 10 days of the season. So I think that's been a very, very nice add also.
Just real quick, I want to go back to Vince Carter. Did you know that he had his low post game and his ability to, you know, ISO and take the guys one-on-one on the block?
Did not know that, and a lot of that stems from what he's told us is his time in Orlando. When he was there, Patrick Ewing was an assistant coach with the Magic, and he worked with one of the great post players ever, Patrick Ewing, on his own post moves.
There you go.
And so that's been able to help refine his game in that regard.
Mark Folliwell is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And I want to talk to you, Mark, about the guy, the straw that stirs the drink, and that, of course, is Sean Marion. Lockdown defense on Kobe. I mean, held him to 9 points and three rebounds through the first three quarters. It was phenomenal. I mean, you talk about containment.
Well, and you know, he did a great job against Kobe in this last game against the Lakers before the All-Star break. Played well against Kobe out there when they played the Lakers in January. It's Chris Paul, it's Ty Lawson, Ricky Rubio, LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, the only guy who's really put up big numbers against Sean lately is the sensation that's sweeping the nation, Jeremy Lin. You know, that's it. You know, Marion's been fantastic. You know, I hope he gets the recognition for it. And I know it's not all about that. The championship, of course, is the greatest recognition that you can get, and he already has one of those. And I think that he's very, very motivated to be in the mix to win another one, of course. But his defensive work this year has been tone-setting, and it's one of the reasons why the Mavs lost with who they lost from last year's team, but have still maintained very, very good defensive numbers this year. Sean's not the only reason, but he's a very, very big one. You know, at this stage of his career, that night in and night out, he's willing to accept the challenge and embrace the challenge of shutting down a point guard or a small forward or a shooting guard or, heck, in some situations, trying to guard a power forward, like I mentioned with Aldridge earlier. I think it's just been very, very impressive. And, you know, in his past, I believe that 1 year he got up to third in Defensive Player of the Year voting. But, you know, that's just the writers and broadcasters around the league that vote on that. It just, you know, the dumb media, we vote on the Defensive Player of the Year. The coaches vote on the all-defensive first and second team selections. And I hope that those guys really, really recognize the versatility and just the old school, I'm not going to let you score on me approach attitude that Sean Marion has had to the defensive end of the floor this year. I hope he gets the recognition for that.
You know, and Sean said after the Philly game, and I love this, he said, you know, I'm a competitor, a true basketball player. I find a way to help my teammates out, and he loves to play on both ends of the floor, but he really prides himself on being the best basketball player he can be. He has made a believer out of me. He's phenomenal.
And, you know, for example, recently he had a game of six assists. I can't remember which game it was in particular, but he had a game that he helped Dallas win because he had a very, very high assist total. I think it might have been the game against Denver when they blew him out here against the Nuggets a little over a week ago.
Mark Folliwell along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and a guy that we have just not taken the time to, you know, really tip our hat to, and that has just been Jason Terry, the leadership, hitting big game shots, you know, in the fourth quarter. I mean, he's led the Mavericks in scoring eight times this season as a reserve. He plays such a critical role.
Well, you know, we ran some numbers in our telecast, Alyssa, a few weeks ago, probably about 2 weeks or so ago, where Jed had had a game in the fourth quarter, another very good game in the fourth quarter, and I thought I would look at some numbers. And since he's gotten to, since he arrived in Dallas in the 04-05 season, started the 04-05 year, if you look at the last 8 years of the NBA, he is in the top five in a lot of fourth quarter categories: minutes played, field goals made, points scored, three-pointers made. I think that the only guys who have made more shots in the fourth quarter in the last 7 years are LeBron, Kobe, and Dirk. The only players who have scored more points in the last 8 years of the NBA in the fourth quarter are LeBron, Kobe, Dirk, and then throw Dwayne Wade in there. So we're talking about a top five guy statistically when it comes to fourth quarter performance over the course of 8 years here in Dallas. And we all know what he did in terms of winning the championship and how vital he was to that run last year. But he is a guy who is going to embrace taking the big shot. I mean, he wants to be on the floor at crunch time. He wants the ball in his hands. He wants to take the big shot. He works well with Dirk in terms of their chemistry and the fact that they're able to play that two-man game so well. And I think that for someone who is an undersized shooting guard and the deficiencies that and the problems that can cause you, what a great job he's done of overcoming those perceived deficiencies and carving out a heck of a career for himself. And this year is just part of it. But I think when you look at Jason Terry in the big picture, what a fine NBA career he's had for someone that people would look at and say, well, this guy, you know, he's got these shortcomings to his game. But he's overcome those, and because of his shooting ability and his desire to be on the floor and not shy from the big moments and step up and take the shot, and if one night he misses it, he's got shooter's amnesia, and he's willing to take it the next night, and then he'll hit the big shot that next night. So that's the thing I love about Jason Terry is just, you know, the crunch time mentality that he has.
Yes, and he is a gamer. I just love his confidence, his moxie down the stretch. Now, quickly, we are running out of time. Talk to me about, you know, Rick Carlisle. He's going to have some time to, you know, sit back, relax, digest, and think about what has just transpired over the first 34 games. What will be the practice priorities over the next week and over this next stretch?
You know, the thing about it, the funny thing about it is from a practice standpoint, they're not going to get a lot of opportunities to do that. They're going to play 9 games in 12 days out of the All-Star break. So they'll have a practice when the team reconvenes. I guess I think the collective bargaining rules, at least in the past, and I don't know about this year, but in the past were such that you couldn't get the guys together until 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday after the All-Star game. So they'll probably have time for a practice Monday afternoon and a shoot-around Tuesday before they play the New Jersey Nets, and then they hit the ground running with 9 games in 12 days. But when they do get opportunities to practice over the course of the second half of the year, I continue to maintain that defense will always be their priority. They're not going to, of course, neglect the offensive end of the floor, but defense is what they'll always look at because that's the philosophy and that's the thing that they feel like can carry game to game. You know, your shot may not be there every night, but you can win games by out-defending people as opposed to trying to win games by outscoring people. So Rick's going to continue to preach the importance of that. And as he said before, you may have heard him say this, Alyssa, you know, on the offensive end of the floor, he wants to give his guys some freedom to do some things. But on the defensive end, they micromanage and they pay extreme attention to every detail because you got to be tied together on that end of the floor. So defense will always be priority number one for what this team's going to try to do when those rare occasions permit them to have a practice over the course of the next few weeks.
Okay, so also it's all going to be a priority to get Lamar Odom going. And I thought it was interesting in the postgame on my drive back to Fort Worth, you said that you had the opportunity to have a lengthy conversation with the Lakers color announcer, Stu Lance, longtime announcer. What did he share? What kind of insight did he provide? Because as I understand, I mean, Lamar's not a shoot-first kind of guy.
Yeah, the insight that he provided was, number one, just, you know, what a great person he is. And I certainly have thought that Lamar has been a very, very good guy and a good, you know, a good guy to deal with and an accommodating guy. And that, you know, he's a good teammate. You know, he's been through some tough times, some turbulent times, family-wise, this past off season and away from basketball. And, you know, he's managed to keep his head up and plow through it in that regard. Really, you know, that was one of the things that Stu said, you know, that the fact that guy has fought through some of the things that he's fought through has been very, very impressive. And, you know, the thing is that the other thing that he shared is that a lot of the times he's going to look for his teammates. He is looking to facilitate before he's looking to shoot. And sometimes when you shoot, though, and when you go to shooting as a second or third option, it doesn't work out nearly as well for you as opposed to whenever you're somebody like Jason Terry, who's got, the assassin's conscience and is going to put it up at any point in time and think shoot first because that's what his skill is. So, you know, maybe we've seen this year that part of the problem for Lamar is maybe he's deferred too often. I think whenever he looks to be aggressive in terms of his shot, there is a decisiveness and a confidence that he has when he does that, and I think he looks pretty good doing it. But we just haven't seen that often enough, and if that's not the kind of player he is, then I don't know that we're necessarily going to see it as often as we would like to see it going forward. But I do think he still has the ability to help this team, and hopefully he can get back into the groove. And groove is a relative term, but he was playing well, I thought, on the recent homestand against the Trailblazers, Clippers, and Denver. He averaged 11 points and shot 50% from the floor in those three games. And if he put up numbers like that going forward, I think that would be a real nice option to have off the bench.
Okay, Mark, we only got about 30 seconds. Just give some high praise for Rick Carlisle. I just think he has done an amazing job managing everybody's minutes and getting them to buy into the system that we've talked about, that it is a defense-minded team first.
I'm a huge Rick Carlisle fan. You know that, Alyssa. What he did last year during the championship run was outstanding. And the thing that we talked about off the top is where I really, you know, give him such high praise, because he's tried to get his team to embrace this year as a challenge rather than dread every day that they have to step out on the floor because the schedule is so compressed. And I think that his attitude in terms of whatever the situation is, we're just going to buckle down and do the best we can to deal with it. I love his attitude in that regard, and I love the fact, I'll close it with this, you know, the old band deodorant commercials, they say, never let them see you sweat. And Rick Carlisle is, you know, Mr. Unflappable, I think, on the sideline. Whatever internal turmoil is going on, he never lets you see him sweat. I love that.
I absolutely do. Mark, thanks so much for dropping by. We look forward to catching up with you real soon. Get some rest, okay? Don't work too hard.
All right, you got it, Alyssa. Take care.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.